Fallout by Amazon Prime is a gory sci-fi thriller, lots of pulpy killing, that supposes a very bad future for mankind, but it's a rollicking good time watching. Based on the video game series of the same name, it's got a compellingly simple storyline in a dense, imagined world of corporations controlling our destinies more than we'd like to admit. With show-off visuals, strong cast, and a good enough moral center, I recommend this futuristic Western to adult men with caveats. So there's one sexual scene of newlyweds. There's terrible, terrible language. There's gore and gore and gore from the ceiling to the floor.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle function.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in orbit.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
First thing I'd like to talk about is the origins of the show Fallout, okay? It's from a video game. I'm embarrassed by this because I'd like to think that I'm of an age that I wouldn't waste 13 hours playing a video game like Fallout, but I did waste that much time watching all of season one over a long weekend, and I'm sorry. I apologize. Now, you would think that its origins mean that it's simple or forced or lame, and I'm thinking of like Tron, Mortal Kombat, or Have Mercy, a movie like Rampage. But the story is neither simple nor forced. They wrote this video game series with lots of backstory. They imagined an whole entire world the way they do with a lot of these first-person player games these days, and lots of character development. And apparently the gamer heads are satisfied with how this show has turned out. They borrow from this is a video game series that's had several different iterations, and they've kind of woven in threads throughout. So there was a lot of content for them to choose from. They just had to go with, we got to develop this main character and stitch everything together. And I think it turned out great as far as the origins go. They obviously put together a killer team. They spared no expense. The visuals are unbelievable. And even, you know, building up characters and monsters from whole cloth, it really looks like the highest end of a blockbuster movie. It's incredible to look at. And so, anyways, those are the origins of the movie. Any thoughts on that?
I think, you know, origins don't matter anymore. It seems like whatever you do with what you've got can turn out great or can turn out terrible. You could take a Pulitzer Prize winning book, turns into a terrible movie. You could take the dumbest idea, turned into a great show. It's run by Jonathan Nolan, who had his brother's Christopher Nolan, and I've read little interviews with him, and he's very proud of this show. I think he's the kind of guy who would go, a video game? Let's turn it into something great.
When I started watching it, I thought, I'm going to have to tell Jeff about watching this, but I'm kind of embarrassed. It's like, Jeff, I really got into Rubik's Cube, the movie. You know, I thought, I feel like this is like super sophomoric. But it's really not. It's quite a tale. Second category is world building. So the story, the sets, and the whole ethos of the place really work together. Everything is seamless as far as I'm concerned. There are sort of miraculous things that are left unexplained. You're just supposed to believe, for instance, that there are some elixirs in the future that can just heal your whole body. You're supposed to believe that there are there's like an IV that you can take that will make you immune to radiation, etc. And that's okay. I'm a sci-fi guy. I can accept those things if you tell me to. If you'll explain all of the holes, just fill up all the gaps, I can go there with you. This is one of the magic of the whole Matrix idea from the beginning. Now, as they developed it, they developed all kinds of holes. But in the first iteration, tight, you know, we describe an imaginary world and it works. The big picture story is compelling as a possible future and the reason for the story, which is that a girl wants to find her father to rescue him. That's the story. but it unravels as the story goes along, and it turns upside down, and it ends up explaining so much more about the world than you thought it would. Of course, just this little tiny story of this girl finding her father. Have you seen Severance on Apple TV Plus?
I've seen an episode, but I didn't go the whole length.
Well, Severance, I won't spend too much time on Severance here, although they've taken over 2 years to give us the second season of this show that, like, my whole extended family, we got into it on a beach trip 2 years ago, and all of us are dying for the next iteration. They still haven't given it to us, but it reminded me of Severance because of how well they painted out this world, and you're just supposed to believe these really bizarre things, and you do. And you want explanations for these crazy things. It's like that. It's compelling. It's tight. There's lots of little zinger secrets and explanations along the way. They say there's a lot of Easter eggs for the gamers. I wouldn't know. Never played the game. There's shocking things to see that include giant cockroaches, like dog-sized cockroaches.
This is after a nuclear war, yes. Right? Okay.
Yeah, right. The whole world is ravaged by radiation, and the only people who are have remained clean and actually preserved like a 50s ethic are people that went underground in these vaults that they had to pay top dollar to live, to get a place in the vaults. So some of these people are coming out of the vaults. They're clean, they're healthy, and they're seeing the nuked world that's left over on the top. So there's giant cockroaches. There are sea monsters made out of human body parts. It reminds me, do you remember that game Inside?
Yeah,
on Apple TV, mm-hmm. whatever. This black and white kind of distressing, kind of disturbing deal where you're like, you got to kill the cows because the pigs have gone crazy because some virus has infected their brains. And at the end of the game, sorry to give away the game Inside, there's a blob that's got arms and legs. It's just like the human's glob. That's what this sea monster is like, human bits. A lot of radiation poisoning producing all sorts of side effects, which are bizarre. They're one of the main characters is more or less a gunslinger from the Old West who's, I think his ears have come off. It's like crackled. He's like looked like a baked potato on the top of his head, and his nose has come off on the end. It's not friendly watching. You see strung out survivors, fanatics of various kinds, puppy incinerators, and cannibalistic fiends. You know, it's a wild ride. But that is the world building that happens in Fallout. They do a nice job of having these nods to like the 50s ideal that was happening before everything went down. So like there's a little cartoon guy who represents, hey, come into the vaults. You know, everything will be great. Come have fun in the vaults. There's a cola that everybody drinks that's like Coca-Cola. And you still have that kind of naive positivity about Coca-Cola from the 50s. So anyways, great job with world building.
The trailer I watched, so I haven't seen the show, but when I watched the trailer, because I think all I had known about the show was more of that apocalyptic wasteland. What intrigued me was the apocalyptic wasteland juxtaposed with this 1950s, you can join the vault, save the world once everything's been destroyed. And just the look of the characters in that, the blue and yellow and that little guy and then you juxtapose that with this crazy, awful world. That, to me, was interesting looking.
Yes. So fun. Next category, which this is just something I'd want to share with you or if anybody else that was interested. The funnest cameos in this, I think it's an 8-episode season. I don't know how you feel about polarizing personality and loudmouth Knicks fan Michael Rapaport. But he appears as you'd expect as a loudmouth operator of one of these armored suits. You get inside the thing and now you have super long arms and you can stomp over anything. You can fly through the air. I want to ride in one of those for a minute, but I don't want them to exist at all.
Yeah.
So anyhow, he appears as one of those guys. He gets destroyed. Check this one out. Maybe one of my funnest ones. Chris Parnell appears as a cycloptic bureaucrat.
Cycloptic bureaucrat?
Not as great as Leo Spaceman from 30 Rock, you know, this kind of benignly positive guy. And you've got to see this, Jeff. They have taken, he obviously acted out a part, and then they go over in post, and they have his eyes are gone. It's clearly there's something left of where his eyes should have been. So it's clearly something nuclear bad happened, right. Genetic mutation or something. His eyes are gone, and there's an eyeball right here above his nose. And I'm telling you, I probably watched this guy on camera for 10 minutes before I thought, he sounds like Parnell, but is that Parnell? And it's so strange how our mind is trying to triangulate what would he look like if I could see his eyes? Because there's this one that's not real. That's fooling me in the middle of his head, this eyeball. And he's kind of the same way, very kind of interested. This is the way things are down here. So very fun seeing him. And it's very hard to know if that's a real person because what they did to his face, it's crazy. I want to throw in, when I'm mentioning funnest cameos, that Ella Purnell, who plays Lucy, the main character, she escapes the vaults and she's going to go find her father. She has humongous eyeballs. So I kept wondering, and I'm still not sure, I haven't read anything about this, I kept wondering if her face was CGI'd.
Like if they just kind of made her eyes a little...
To make her eyes bigger, like a cartoon character.
Like an anime
character. They may have
character.
Tampered with her, but her eyes are huge in this. I kept... I'm watching this. Same thing with Parnell. I'm watching this going like, wait, is that a real person or did they... It's crazy. All right. I'm going to save my best cameo for last. And I'll throw out, there's a kid named Marty Carteropel. Ever heard of him?
No.
You would recognize him from Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
And he just plays a doofus drug dealer in the future. And when I saw him, I thought, I recognize him, but I don't know where from. And of course, he gets mauled by zombies just because he's not, whoa, what? No way. But kind of fun to see him. It kind of felt like a little surprise. Oh, I kind of recognize that guy, but I don't know why. Apparently there are several cameos that are fall into that category, but I don't know enough of you know, basically cable TV, like Justified. There's a lot of Justified references in there with the show. Yeah. I never watched. Funnest cameo. Fred Armisen appears as an apocalyptic DJ. He's in this little... There is a DJ booth that's been left over, and he's surrounded by homemade booby traps so that he can stay safe, but he's still very positive, and he's a little bit fussy and precious about the music. And they even give him, they had to have written this part for him, they give him a little debate with somebody about the sound quality of this, you know, this beat up loudspeaker on the top that's dangling off a pole. I think the mids could have been better on that. So it's a delightful little appearance by Fred Armisen. Those nice. Are the funnest cameos I can remember from Fallout.
Cool.
For the sake of our audience, I thought I've got to put in this last category under the heading problems. So let's be upfront about the problems. The language, bro. I'm just squirming the whole time. Anytime there's going to be conflict between characters, I'm just... My hands are on my ears. I know that if there's conflict, it's going to be a barrage of F-bombs littered with other stuff. Should I have been a pure heart and turned this off? You got to know that I was squirming for the whole first episode, going like, it's compelling. It's kind of the sci-fi show that I like. I want to see Into the Vaults. And also, God, this language. And then there was some point where, God bless me. You know, there's a cliff that you tend to fall off. You go, well, I'm in now. Okay, so I have to endure whatever you guys do because I got to make it to the end of this show. And is that moral weakness on my part? I don't know. But I just want our hearers to know that that's there. And secondly, the gore. My goodness, the gore. The devaluing of human life in the radiated future. Well, it's not pretty if that's what we get to. At one point, a guy who's in that armored thing, you know, we're seeing him fight all sorts of people. And at one point, there are some kind of like bandits that kind of try to take over him because the thing's valuable that he's in. And they think they know how to dismantle it and they could steal it if they could kill the guy inside. And so they kind of attack him. And there's a fight in which he takes his mechanized robot hand, clamps it on a guy's head and pops it. Like it's a plum, you know, an overripe plum. There's that kind of stuff a lot in it. And they think it is fun and create. It never ceases to amaze me how people think that it's creative to give different ways that people could die on film. But there you go. I don't think it's good to become inert at this sort of thing. So I looked away a lot. And I'll even throw this in. One of the main things that Lucy needs to find when she's out there roving around this radiated world is a severed head. She needs to find a severed head, and then she's got to take that somewhere else in the world. The only satisfying thing is that the severed head belongs to one of the stars of Lost, Michael Emerson. Do you know him?
Yeah.
He was Ben Linus and Henry Gale.
Oh, yes.
Glasses, yes. The leader of the Others. The Others. Yes. And he has the same kind of persnickety personality. So it's a little bit satisfying when he dies, but then it's not satisfying when she takes his rotting head around that world. So, you know, be aware of that. Those are the problems. Bottom line, I'm a sucker for well-considered sci-fi. What can I say? There were so many references that went through my mind watching this. I thought of Michael Crichton's Westworld a lot watching this.
Jonathan Nolan, who made this, he was the guy who ran that.
Right. Now, I haven't seen that new iteration. I saw the old thing.
Yul Brynner.
Yeah, that's right. Buckaroo Banzai came to mind watching this. It's kind of a Western when you're out there on that sort of desert landscape. And certainly we have the cowboy with the fallen off nose. And it's like a Western blended with the family story of like Interstellar, like this simple thread of a family thing blended with the kind of other world fascination of like a Blade Runner, where I just want to go to the next scene. I want to see the next big set piece. I could almost watch the whole thing on mute just to see what they've invented. Is it a safe program? No. Should you protect your teens from this? Yes. Could a group of grown men enjoy watching this together because of the gore and adventure? Yes. And do I sometimes ask myself questions and make people listen to the answers? Yes.
When I watched the trailer, it sure looked like, this is about old-fashioned values.
Right.
Trying to make their way in a world that's destroyed. There are no values.
It is partly that, which is why I said there's enough of a moral core that I could glom onto it. You know, if there's no value to anything, I usually can't endure a show like that. But they're trying to, I mean, one of the things that Lucy, the main character, is constantly saying is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So she goes out into this wasteland world with that kind of value, and people are constantly kind of giving each other a knowing smile. We've got an innocent here who thinks that will play in this world. And she to the bitter end, she believes that. She has this moral core that was developed for her in the vault, and now she's out in this messy world where, you know, one of the first things that is said about her by one of the characters is, clean skin, straight teeth, 10 fingers and toes must be nice. And so they have a very jaded view of her, and she knows it, and that's not going to stop her because she knows where she came from, and she's going to export those values everywhere she goes. So yes, that is there, as you describe.
Well, not to overread into that, but I mean, wouldn't you say that's from our worldview? Good family. Gosh, this kid has grown up in a good family.
Yes.
And then they're out in the world and everybody's like, I guess you must be nice. Yeah, I had a good family and I'm having influence on the world around me.
For sure. Yes, that's there. 100%.
The groaner for me in the trailer was, I don't know if you've seen the trailer, but it shows a lot. And then at the end of the trailer, it shows her. She's now taken off part of her outfit. She's in like a tank top and there's blood on her. And the idea, what they're trying to communicate is she's not that girl anymore.
There's nothing that the modern storyteller loves to do than to deflower an innocent. And by the end of the show, tell you they've become like everyone else. Yes. And their values didn't muster in this world. Actually, not the case with her.
Great.
Although she loses a finger along the way. She gets bloodied up. She's a mess, of course. But actually, the core of her moral center does not change.
That's great.
3, 2, 1, 0. Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.